Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Let's get Steve Palazzolo from the 33rd team, his thoughts. Would you go over under that number, Steve?
How many did you say again?
2.5. Will Howard, career wins as a Steeler.
I'll go over. Go Will.
What do you like about
winner?
Him?
No, I don't love Will Howard, but it's in the sixth round. I thought a lot of the QBs just had something developmental about them to build around. And I think, you know, Howard's got an okay arm. He's kind of athletic. And I liked the way he led Ohio State. I know they were loaded, but I liked the way he bounced back from the terrible Michigan game. I liked how he hits the 3rd-and-11 bomb to Jeremiah Smith to seal the deal against Notre Dame. I thought he did really well in some clutch moments for them. I know there's a bad one against Oregon, and again, the whole Michigan game was awful, but I thought he bounced back from adversity pretty well. He's got some tools. He's okay. He just throws some hospital balls over the middle of the field. But yeah, I thought he was aggressive throwing the ball down the field and gave them opportunities to win.
Steve, when you look at the build there, 6'4", almost 240, basically like the identical height weight to Josh Allen. I know he doesn't have Allen's arm, but like good athlete by and large. It just makes me feel like there has to be something with him that's like an Achilles heel that causes a guy that big and that athletic to actually fall to the sixth round. So is there some sort of fatal flaw that hasn't been brought up about him yet that kept him on the board that long?
I don't know if there's anything specific fatally as far as the flaw. It's just inconsistency. Like the same description we used on Milroe, there are some games where, you know, his accuracy is all over the place or whatever. I mean, Howard has elements of that. I mean, he will overthrow receivers over the middle field a couple times a game, it seems. And his arm's not great. It's good. I think he's been touted as having a big arm, but it's not great. It's fine. And the athleticism is kind of, I don't know, like a lower-end Daniel Jones-ish. I'm comparing to Daniel Jones because he also was wide open for a touchdown run and tripped and fell in the title game, much like Daniel Jones fell on a 75-yard run a few years ago. So, yeah, I mean, I think his velocity, I think his like arm strength is okay, and I think that's a big part of it as well, and just the inconsistency. And if you want to dock him, you would say his accuracy was all over the place at Kansas State, and maybe it got better this year, but that's throwing to Jeremiah Smith and Emeka Abuka, Chip Kelly calling the plays. So if you wanted to dock him, you would say, yeah, he was more of a passenger than the driver for that Ohio State offense.
Oh, be careful with that, because Ben Roethlisberger's already come after Mulsey for having that exact opinion, Steve. So you might get a Hall of Fame quarterback's bad graces.
Is Ben a QB defender the same way Dan Orlovsky is? It's never the QB's fault.
Ben is not. He will absolutely go after Steelers QBs, especially if he thinks that they're a threat to his legacy.
That's a good way to pick them apart.
At the very outset, said he was rooting against Kenny Pickett and then quickly became Kenny's biggest fan when he realized he wasn't a threat. Ben did say like he didn't like the arguments against Howard that he played with NFL competition and he was, like you said, a passenger. To which I say, and I wish I would have said this yesterday when we played the clip of Ben like moaning and groaning about that, it's absolutely a valid criticism when you're talking about who he had surrounding him relative to the teams he had going against him. Like, Ben's argument was, well, he'll be playing with all NFL players on his team. Yes, against all NFL players on the other side.
Well, by that,
not against a directional Michigan.
By that logic, Matt Leinart and Ken Dorsey would have been good NFL quarterbacks.
We have that same circular argument every year for every prospect, I think. So it always pops up.
Steve, how would you have felt if the Steelers, instead of taking Caleb Johnson in the second round and Jack Sawyer in the fourth round, picked Shedeur Sanders with one of those selections?
I mean, I would have been fine with it. None of us knew exactly what was going on. And look, I think he just pissed off the few teams that needed a starting quarterback within the next 2 years, Steelers included. He probably made himself undraftable for the teams that were desperate at quarterback to make him the guy. And so we didn't really know any of that. So on paper, on the surface, I would have said, yeah, absolutely, Shedeur Sanders in the second or the fourth. I would have taken that shot. But if you're out on him and you've got more information than we had about how he handled interviews and, blew off interviews or whatever it may have been, then I understand not doing it. But, yeah, I'm all for taking shots at quarterback, because you guys know, and I think he's got starter potential.
Who was your favorite pick by the Steelers in this draft? Do you need me to refresh your memory on who they picked, Steve?
I got them in front of me here. Let's see. Probably, I mean, for where they were picked, I would say probably Jack Sawyer. Yeah.
Really? Why?
I like Harmon, and I loved Caleb Johnson on film, so he's close for me. But I just think Sawyer's a really good productive player, and then you just think about the – I know he's not athletic or anything like that, but you think about the Nick Herbigs and Alex Highsmiths that they've gotten in the third and fourth round over the last few years, and I just think they're continuing to replenish that position. The guy's good against the run. I think he could be an okay pass rusher, and in the fourth round, I think there's good value there. Caleb Johnson's close for me, though.
What did you like so much about Caleb Johnson? Despite the fact that Pony and I, and maybe this disqualifies us, we are just lowly hot take artists. We both just made the, he doesn't have a great 40 time. He kind of reminds us of Najee Harris in build and lack of explosive
speed. Well, Nick Saban said that, and so did Charles Davis and Brian Baldinger, so it's not like we're in horrible company.
Yes,
with that.
But I wanted to just put us in there, Pony. I wanted to lead the witness here a little towards this.
Yeah, I did not watch him and think, man, his 40 time. My guy is Cam Scataboo's one of my favorite players in the draft. And I watched him and I thought, he's going to have a bad 40. It does limit some of his potential. He looks slow. I never really watched Caleb Johnson and was like, man, poor guy's going to have to run at Indy and show everybody how slow he is. Like, he plays fast. So I don't care about his 40 time. That dude, he's tough to tackle. He reminded me of the way he runs the zone game, reminded me of Joe Mixon, where he's just really smooth, good feel for when to cut it upfield, and then he's just tough to tackle, man. I mean, some of the runs he had against Ohio State, you know, that loaded national title champion, I mean, it was unbelievable. So I was really impressed by Caleb Johnson. I really thought he was going to go in the second, so I thought that was a good pick in the third for sure.
Steve, we'll get you out on this. Ross Tucker said on Good Morning Football that the best high school football player he ever watched was Terrell Pryor. Who is the best high school football player Steve Palazzolo ever watched?
Oh, man. I don't know if I've had any. I mean, in person, I haven't had a whole bunch of good ones. I think it's Vita Vea's running back tape or something like that was the most fun. Wasn't Vita Vea playing running back in college? I think that's
didn't
who
he,
it was.
Didn't he play running back at about 320 pounds?
Really?
Yeah.
It was
I'd
him
have
or
to go,
someone.
Go watch that.
Some monster nose tackle like him. I want to say it was Vita Vea.
I think you're right, because he has nimble feet, and there's just a bunch of 17-year-olds who just want to go out on a date with their girlfriend after the game making business decisions.
Yes. I got to look that up. So I'll go with that as my answer. I came from bad Massachusetts high school football. I didn't see much good high school ball.
Pony, I am looking at this right now. Vita Vea was a big-time running back in high school, and he just is an absolute unit dominating these poor sets.
All right, so Steve did a pretty good job there, quick on his feet to come up with a name. Thank you, Steve. We'll talk again soon.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.